This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday the 25th of November 2014 and my name is Davey McGimsey. This week on the show we look back at our European adventure in Angers and we look forward to games this weekend against Fife and Sheffield. If you want to get in touch with us, as always, you can on the email podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com, our website www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast, on Twitter @AVFTB, check out our SoundCloud account www.soundcloud.com/AVFTB, check out Jimmy Squeaker's photos on Instagram. You can call our fans line on 02895 817 510. Always leave your views there, always a good listen. We'll get the best ones up on the show in the coming weeks. I'm not sure whether anyone noticed, but Paddy's been away for a few weeks. He comes back next week. So for the very last time, we're very grateful to Hitchy for doing it one more time. But Hitchy, it's over to you.
Good evening and welcome to A View from the Bridge. And it's on a little bit of a somber note this week as the, I guess, sad news that the Belfast Giants did not advance as we had all hoped and prayed for to the Super Final of the Continental Cup. We will obviously be talking about that in depth this week. I am joined, as always, by Mr. David McGimsey.
Good evening, Hitchy. It's a sort of bittersweet evening for me here. You know, it's get Paddy back. I'm not sure where that's great, you know, but we'll lose you. But, you know, it's been fun while it lasted.
Thank you. I've heard that before. And I'm also joined by, as always, Premier Sports, Giants Live TV, and Red Tube's Neil Russell.
Evening, Hitchy.
Good evening, sir. So, yes, it's without further ado, let's talk about the weekend. The Continental Cup, the Giants went to the nation of France to play three games. First up, Neiman Grondo, a 1-0 victory, had us all on the edge of our seats on Friday. There was no webcasts, there was no radio commentary. We were all glued to Twitter. It reminded me of Teletext of old when Heartbeat was on a Sunday night, checking to see if my own team had won in the many rinks of the British League. And it was a 1-0 victory. Mike Compong back from injury, and on 38 minutes, he broke the hearts of the Eastern European team. Chubak with the 34-shot shutout. Giants were outshot, but they weren't outgunned, and it was a great start to the weekend. We moved on, playing the host team Angers Duke. It was a 2-1 defeat. Elfring got the goal, but it was too little too late with only half a minute left of the game. Two goals for the French side scored by the man of the weekend, Cody Campbell, one of them being short-handed. And although the Giants outshot the French in the game and Elfring got the man of the match, it was one win and one defeat. However, the impetus was back with the Giants on Sunday as they beat Mike Danton's Sanok 5-3, goals from Cherrier, Compon, Lloyd McCutcheon, and an empty net goal from Adam Keefe. He likes to get a little bit of a contribution, doesn't he, Kiefer? As the Giants really got the win back in the sails of their campaign, and all eyes were on Twitter in the evening as the Giants waited for the result of Grondo versus Angers. And unfortunately, it was one of the very few scenarios that could have put the Giants out that actually occurred. And a 4-3 win for Grondo meant that those two teams were through. And lots of angry Giants fans were on Twitter throughout the evening. But unfortunately, it's game over for the Continental Cup. Normally, I would ask Davey and Coach for their in-depth analysis of the games. But due to the lack of coverage, with the exception of one very shady stream on Saturday night, which reminded me of those videotapes passed around the sixth form common room, we would have to rely on BBC Northern Ireland's Nigel Ringland, and he was interviewed by Neil Russell.
Delighted to say joining us on this week's A View from the Bridge podcast is BBC journalist Nigel Ringland. And Nigel, firstly, it's great to have you on this week's show.
Thanks, Neil.
You were out in France this weekend covering the games for the BBC. Obviously, the Belfast Giants on Friday evening up against Neiman Grondo of Belarus. Talk us through that game. Obviously, the Belfast Giants picking up a vital victory right at the start of the semi-final campaign.
Yeah, well, the Belarusian side, in my opinion, were the best team that the Giants came up against over the weekend. Very skillful, very close control of the puck in what was a very tight an intimate arena in Angers, more akin to the Dundonald Ice Bowl rather than the Odyssey Arena. And the Giants, they battled for every puck. But they were, for a lot of the game, they were under an awful lot of pressure from a very, very good side. And the man of the match, without a doubt, Carson Chubak, we all miss Stephen Murphy, of course we do. And when he went down injured a couple of weeks ago, the season was maybe in doubt. Who was Steve Thornton going to get in to replace him? This was one of the best goaltending performances I have seen from a Belfast Giants netminder. And I don't say that lightly because I've covered the team for 15 seasons. And, I've seen the likes of Ryan Back, Mike Beals, and more latterly, of course, Stephen Murphy with some tremendous individual performances. But this was an outstanding performance by Carson Chubak. Some of the saves he made were so good and so incredible. I mean, there were times when the puck was on the end of a Grodno's stick and you thought it's one each. They're going to go into the lead, whatever time of the game it was. And time again, he came up huge with a string of incredible stops. The Giants needed a bit of magic as well offensively, and they got it from Mike Compon. A terrific solo effort. He got the puck from Darryl Lloyd, drove down the slot. I think the goaltender thought that he was going to give it back to Lloyd, but Compon kept it, the puck in his forehand, dragged it to his backhand, and ripped it high past the netminder. And that was the only goal of the game and the only goal the Giants needed. The last 2 minutes were hair-raising stuff. Kevin Phillips took a penalty. The Giants had a kill 6-on-4, and Chubak just absolutely stood in his noggin. I kid you not, he was the man of the match by a long way.
And you talked there about the vital goal, obviously, from Mike Compon, and he's been missing for the last 3 or 4 weeks from the Belfast Giants lineup. But what a player he is, so important in on the draws there for the Belfast Giants. And he comes up with important goals as well. I'm sure Steve was more than happy to have him back in the lineup for this weekend.
Absolutely, and Mark McCutcheon as well, and of course injuries have been huge for the Belfast Giants. They iced without Mark Arside, who of course has got a broken arm, and in the game against Grodno they lost Kevin Surrett as well. He's got a lower back problem that's been ongoing, and he wasn't able to dress for the other two games over the weekend. Craig Peacock had his ankle in ice after the game, and he did dress for the next two games. I mean, it was an all-out effort. When you put this in context about how short a roster Belfast would have been playing with, even at full strength compared to the other three teams who were there this weekend, the effort and the way that the Giants battled for the whole weekend, especially in that first game against Grodno, because they were under an awful lot of pressure for an awful long period of that game, and they eventually got the goal, and they shut the door the rest of the way.
And then moving on to Saturday evening up against the host team, Angers. Unfortunately, a 2-1 defeat for the Belfast Giants, a goal coming from Calvin Elfring. But it just did come across as a wee bit too little, too late. Just talk us through it. It was the only game of the weekend that the fans back home were able to watch on a very interruptive webcast, albeit. But it seemed that the first period performance from the Giants didn't really seem to turn up in that first period, and it's cost the team in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and Steve admitted that. Steve Thornton admitted that at the end of the weekend. I mean, it was the only real bad period they played, and they didn't even play badly in the period. I mean, they got off to a good start first couple of minutes of the game. They forced the early power play, but the problem with the arena that they were playing in was that if you made a mistake offensively, even when you did have the puck on your power play, it didn't take much for the other team to break up ice with a clear breakaway, and that's unfortunately what happened on that first power play. It was just an errant pass, it bounced off the boards, and suddenly the forechecking, the point forward, who was just broke up ice, found with one pass and went in and beat Chubak. Cody Campbell got that goal, and then skating 4-on-4 later in the period, again a slice of luck for the French side. It was an attempted clearance from the Giants that I hit the referee. It kept the puck in the offensive zone. Campbell picked it up, skated into the slot, and produced a good finish. And suddenly the Giants find themselves 2-0 down after 13 or 14 minutes of the game without doing an awful lot wrong. And from the moment the second period started, they dominated the last two periods of play. They've been outshot in the first period, but I think they limited Angers to just 11 shots in the last 40 minutes. Eventually outshot them in the game 35-26. And they piled the pressure, but they found Oban, the former NHL netminder, in top form on Saturday night, and they just couldn't force the puck. They did everything but score up until the last 30 seconds of the game, where the goal was credited to Elfring. I think Kevin Westgarth would have something to say about that. I think it was Westgarth who should have the credit for the goal, and he was very, very good in the last two games. Over the weekend and Saturday and Sunday, which is good news for the Giants as the season moved forward. Westgarth was more comfortable in his surroundings, and he took a real leadership role, I felt, watching the games on Saturday and Sunday, having, of course, got the game misconduct in the game against Grodno. It was a little bit too late, unfortunately, to get a point out of the game against Angers. I personally didn't think Angers were that great. I think they're a lucky team to be in the Super Final, but they did just enough to see off the Giants on Saturday night.
Well, I was just going to ask you that exact question, because I saw quite a bit on social media on Saturday evening, people kind of saying, you know, surely we should be beating the French champions. You know, our league surely is better than the French league. What was your take on the French side as a whole? Obviously, they're able to roll four lines, whereas we were kind of a bit bruised and battered yet again going into the European campaign. Is that the main factor maybe behind a defeat against a team that's able to roll those four lines?
Well, I think that was critical as the weekend went on. As far as Angers were concerned, I think that the semi-final round being played anywhere else, if they'd been forced to go on the road, I think they would have struggled. They were used to their surroundings. They obviously were, you know, had all the comforts of home in terms of being able to play there. They understood the bounces off the boards, and playing well in that rink. I mean, currently they're mid-table in France, which would lead me to believe that the best teams in France, probably the top four teams in France, would be very much a match for any team in the Elite League. Because it's not to say that Angers were a bad team. They certainly weren't a bad team. I think the frustration from the Giants' point of view was that this was a team at their level. This was a team that on any given night, any other given night, they could and most probably should have beaten a couple of very good imports. Cody Campbell is a very, very good player. But it did lead me to think that, let's put it this way, they're in the Super Final. I don't think Angers will be lifting the trophy come the end of the day.
Yeah, and that obviously led us on to Sunday evening, the big game against Sanok of Poland, and the Belfast Giants running out 5-3 winners there. And, you know, we knew going into that game, you know, we needed to pick up the points, and that's exactly what we did, with goals coming from Chevry, Compton, Lloyd, McCutcheon, Keefe. Like, a really, you know, the goal scoring just spread around again by the side, and a really you know, big character performance from the guys, third game in three nights.
Yeah, it certainly was. It was, as you say, a must-win game. All three games were battles, physical battles, in a compact rink. Bodies were put on the line. It was very, very difficult for, you know, to get a consistent forecheck going. You were always being closed down. Space was at a premium. You absolutely had to battle for every inch of ice. And the game against Sanok, despite the fact that they lost their opening games, they were still in with a chance of qualifying had they beaten the Giants. So this wasn't a team that had nothing to play for that the Giants were playing. The Giants got off to a really good start in the first period. At the end of the period, they only had the one goal to show from it. Through Chevry, who banged in a rebound. And then suddenly the worst possible start of the second period, a power play goal just 20 odd seconds into the second period for Sanok, and then they got a lucky ricochet to put them 2-1 up. Suddenly the Giants were chasing the game, and I thought before the game, this is not a game the Giants wanted to be chasing. It's terrible to try chasing the game like they had to do the previous evening against Angers. But they never give up. They absolutely battled. Compton made it 2-2, driving the net. Then they went 3-2 down. They get a clean breakaway to Sanok, who went up the ice and made it 3-2. And Compton forced a turnover, and it was Darragh Lloyd that drove to the net and made it 3-3 with a period to go. And it was literally end-to-end stuff. These games weren't terrifically skilled over the weekend, as I say, that the ice surface, the compactness of the arena, it didn't lead to sort of, you know, skillful hockey, but boy, the games were tight and physical and tense and end-to-end, and it was good hockey, you know, great excitement and good hockey to watch. And the Giants in that final period, you know, seized the initiative eventually with Mark McCutcheon scoring a goal. Somehow he managed to sneak the puck between the near post and the keeper's pad. Honestly, I don't know where he found the gap from. It crept over the line to give the Giants a 4-3 lead. And then they iced the game with an empty netter from Adam Keefe. And by winning the game by two goals, they cancelled out the advantage that Grodno had, because Grodno had only defeated Sanok 2-0. So we're all doing the mathematic equations and trying to work out what the different permutations were. And we thought that Adam Keefe's goal at to make it 5-3, the empty netter, was going to be crucial in the end, because it meant that if there was a tiebreaker with Grodno, with all the other permutations above that, the Giants, the result against Sanok for both teams would have been taken into the equation. And because the Giants had scored more goals, we thought, honestly, a lot of us thought that, you know, with the exception of one result that could go against the Giants, every other permutation was to there to the Giants' advantage. And after the game against Sanok, you know, it was, you knew what might happen, but you didn't really think it could.
Then it led to, obviously, Angers against Grodno, and you know, everyone kind of knew what the permutations that needed to happen in that game, and lo and behold, it did. Was there, just give us your own perception, a lot of people being very, I suppose, quite conspiracy theorists and what have you online and on social media, etc. What was your take of that game? Was it played hard, or do you think it was a wee bit of a stitch-up?
Well, after the Giants game, I walked back to the team hotel, which was about a 5-minute walk to do a little bit of work, and I was on my way downstairs to get a cup of coffee. When I met Colin Shields and Craig Peacock, and they were going to get something to eat and then head back down to the rink. And it was Colin Shields that told me, "Oh, by the way, have you heard that Aubin isn't starting for Angers tonight?" And I thought to myself, well, you know, that's... I later found out apparently he was benched because of a near infection. Well, this is the guy that had only given up Kevin Westgarth's goal with 20-odd seconds left in two games. You know, you began to think at that stage, what's going on here? And I thought it very strange, because a two-goal win for Grodno would have put Angers out of the competition. So you thought, well, you know, either they're taking a big chance here or something else is going on. It seemed very, very strange. And, you know, I mean, what can you say? I mean, you watched the game, and, you know, at the end of the second period, when Grodno were leading by 4-3 and the result was in place for both sides to go through the final period, it really didn't look as... Listen, what can you say? I mean, you know... You can't say it was a result of convenience. In the end, that's the way it turned out. There was an awful lot of frustration from the Giants at the end of the game, but to be honest, not an awful lot of surprise. And that's
Nigel,
really all I can say about it.
Well, we'll leave it there, Nigel. I really appreciate your time taking us through those three games. Obviously, as I said, the Giants fans weren't able to watch all of the game, maybe just one of the games on webcast. So we really appreciate your time coming on to the show and talking us through those games. Many thanks.
Cheers, guys.
So thank you there to Nigel Ringland of the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, as he was in attendance in France this weekend. Now, the guys have calmed down a little bit. They've had a few drinks since. Well, not coach, he's teetotal. So first we'll go to Davey, who I'm sure got absolutely hammered on Sunday night. Davey, disappointment for the Belfast Giants.
Yes, Hitchy, disappointment. Very, very disappointing. And especially when you consider over, you know, 9 periods, we probably only had one particularly poor period where we got punished by Angers. And, you know, ultimately that's been the turning point in the tournament for us. You know, some very standout performance, as you've already said there, from the new goalie and Carson Chewback. But overall, you know, it's a terrible way to go out of a tournament, you know, waiting on a result, one permutation that can come true that can can put you out. And, you know, we considered the old, was it West Germany against Austria in the World Cup from years gone by, that they would play out a bit of a tepid, and it turns out in the third period, you know, both teams probably settled for what they had rather than carved up a pass to me, to you, to me, you know, the Chuckle Brothers type scenario. But, you know, it would, it's just disappointing. You know, we had some good performances there. The likes of Cody Brickwell, who had a very, very good weekend. Mike Compong coming back in and playing a real Warriors role, not 100% fit and hanging in there for three games. And, you know, his contribution in the face-off circle can't be disregarded, because when we're playing against teams of four lines and we can only run three, and even that with injuries over the weekend going down to two line situation, you know, him giving us possession of the puck allows us just to take the foot off the gas a bit, if you know what I mean there, you know, just play a slower tempo of game than somebody coming at you with four lines. So, you know, great performances, great individual performances, a great team performance, just sad that we just couldn't get across the line at the end of it.
Fine margins, obviously, in these four team groups. It almost always comes down, doesn't it, coach, in the Continental Cup to goal difference, games between the teams, etc. Obviously, well, that Saturday night defeat against the French team really, really did come back to sting the Giants.
Absolutely, Mark. You know, listen, you know, I've probably talked about fine margins more than anybody so far this season, and, you know, it's very difficult to kind of give a full synopsis, and you know, obviously we were able to get the likes of Nigel on there, and it was fascinating kind of getting a full breakdown of all the games. So for us guys who were back in Northern Ireland, you know, it was so frustrating kind of following on Twitter. But, you know, judging by what we've read from numerous different people, I mean, the effort put in by the team over the course of the three games was absolutely superb. And as Davey articulately put there, you know, playing short bench as well. I mean, we're going up against teams who are rolling four lines, and we already went in, you know, short bench, I suppose, with Mark Garside out for a reasonable length of time now, and we've picked up another couple of niggles whilst away, and Kevin Surrett obviously missed out, didn't complete the game on Friday, and didn't play Saturday or Sunday, and picked up another couple of niggles. And I mean, that is going to just prove more and more difficult to kind of progress and get under these teams. And it just has come down to fine margins again, really, at the end of it. But, you know, I think, judging, as I say, from what everybody said, who was there, you know, the Belfast Giants organisation, and indeed the players, can hold their heads very, very high for the effort that they put in. And, you know, again, we've gone into Europe and won many, many friends over, and I think we've kind of, you know, portrayed the elite league in a really positive manner, and that can only be a good thing for ourselves as a club, but also for the elite league in general.
Well, Cody Brookwell finished +4 for the weekend, Compon and Keith +3, and Lloyd +2. Compon was actually second as well in face-offs across all teams, finishing just above 64% on all draws. Davey, the star players shining again, were the guys you would have expected to shine on the weekend. Again, difficult to analyse because we didn't see all three games, but looking at the statistics, was there anyone in particular that you thought could have stepped a little bit more?
No, you know, we're playing a game here. We're watching a game on paper here. It's very difficult when you've only seen one of the games to, you know, be critical of anyone. You've got the likes of Mike Compon, who's came in. We've already had a chat about him a few minutes ago. You know, guys with European experience, him, Calvin Elfring, Robbie Sandrock, all guys that are experienced in the European style of hockey now, you know, all seem to have had very good weekends. There wasn't anyone that has came out of the weekend with any, you know, negatives that I've heard from any fans that were there from any reports that are on the BBC or, you know, in the papers and that. So, you know, pride of the guys, you know, it's been a difficult weekend emotionally for them to come off, you know, being so close and yet so far away. But, you know, that's champions just have to bounce back and get qualified again next year.
I thought it was great to see big Cody Brookwell do so well over the course of the weekend, +4. Over the course of the three games. And, you know, he's come in for a wee bit of stick at the start of the season. Sometimes warranted, but overall for me, like, I'm a huge Cody Brookwell fan. And, you know, he's really upped his game there and over the last kind of 4 to 6 weeks, really, for me, certainly over the last month. And, you know, he's starting to come into proper form again. And if that partnership with Big Cody and Elfring can get firing on all cylinders again, you know, and we can start getting as close to a full roster as we possibly can. You know, I think good things are going to happen, but, you know, Davey's quite right. You know, the guys have come back in from France now. They can hold their heads very, very high. But, you know, as Davey would also say, and he said at the start of this season, you know, domestic domination is the most important thing. And the guys have now got to get their heads back in the Elite League action and be ready to go for the rest of the year and start picking up some trophies here in the UK.
Coach, staying with you for a second, it's obviously a very, very sensitive time as a Giants fan, but looking at Europe, looking at the CHL, looking at the Continental Cup, do you still feel it's worth the while of the UK teams representing the Elite League and going into Europe? There's a lot of split opinion on whether we should just concentrate on the domestic game, that there's not that much in it. I mean, the Giants have gone over to a tournament with no TV coverage. I mean, it's not really beyond Twitter and some webcasts for one of the games comparing to what we have here at home. Is it even a worthwhile exercise?
Well, as I did allude to on last week's podcast, I know the Premier were very much trying to get TV coverage for the weekend. Just unfortunately, it didn't materialise. I am in favour of Europe. You know, I stuck my neck out, and you know, I was talking about the CHL and commended the Panthers for kind of taking that plunge, because it's a big financial plunge there. You know, that's an entry fee and all the rest of it. I can't remember now, but it's multiple thousands to enter that competition, and certainly I certainly believe that the Continental Cup is the Belfast Giants level. That is where it's pitched at for us. The CHL is a step too far for the Elite League at this minute in time. What I would say is that I believe for us to stand a really good chance of progression in the Super Finals and really challenging to properly win the tournament, we need to start looking at rolling four lines. I mean, you know, it always seems to be that whenever we go into European comp, I'm talking just generically, I'm even talking about the Panthers and Champions Hockey League and previous adventures, you need to go into that at full strength. You have to be rolling four lines. We're coming up against opposition teams who are doing that. And, you know, maybe I think it was Simon mentioned a month or so ago on the podcast, you know, other fourth line weren't that great. That's fine, but you don't necessarily have to have a superstar fourth line. But that time that the fourth line utilise out on the ice, you know, they'll play a good shift for you, a good honest shift. That gives guys in your top two or three lines that wee bit more breathing space. So it does a bit more breathing time, sorry, should I say, to kind of get themselves rocking and rolling again. Whereas we were down to a couple of lines, really, and by Sunday evening. And for us to really properly compete, we need to be rolling four lines. So I think that's something that maybe the Elite League in general, I know we're going to be upping the import level again next year to the 13. So maybe that's something that as a club or certainly as an Elite League, we should be looking at.
Thanks there, Coach. And
I'll throw my tuppence worth in on the European question there, Hedgy, before you move on. You know me, I'm slightly insular when it comes to the Giants. I not necessarily think that it's a great thing that the Giants are flying the flag for the Elite League, because it doesn't bother me whether we are or not. You know, we were flying the flag for the Belfast Giants, for my club, and we came within, you know, the width of a puck from, you know, qualifying for the Super Finals. And who's to say if we'd have got the Super Finals, the chance it would have been in Belfast, you would have been up against Bremerhaven, you would have been up against Angers, teams that you know are beatable. You know, that competition is winnable with just a bit more. As coaches say, if you can just add little bits here and there to your infrastructure, then you're perhaps, you know, a real challenger. This is the perfect pitch level for why not play other teams from around Europe and let fans sample that travelling rather than just going to, you know, with respect, Fife, Nottingham, Sheffield, you know, all the places we get to go, we're very fortunate that we're able to travel to. But to get that trip to Germany and have that camaraderie for a weekend away and, you know, go to France or go to Italy or Poland or wherever it might be. And, you know, I think it's a fantastic competition, and it's I think the CHL is just a massive step too far at presently and probably for a considerable, you know, years to come. I don't see the Elite League taking that step, the Champions Hockey League. So why not just let the champions go into this Continental Cup? It's there to be won now with better teams going into the CHL. It's actually a tenable trophy to win. We could actually have won this trophy this season if things had just gone slightly different the weekend, but you can't look back. You can only look forward now, and the next most important game we're going to play is Saturday night.
You're against it, Hitchy, aren't you? You don't think it's that that good a proposition, really, for elite league teams?
I think the only positives, personally, from European competition is the travel for the fans. I haven't seen in my 20 years of watching hockey any positives come from it, if I'm completely honest. I remember Manchester Storm playing games in the old European Hockey League, which faced off at 4:30 in the afternoon to suit the TV schedules of European nations, even though their fans were all at work, apart from the unemployed, which is actually quite high in Manchester. But the Steelers have been in the Continental Cup a fair few times. We've hosted groups ourselves. We've travelled to Europe and people have had a really good time. But personally, I would rather see us concentrate as a nation on our domestic league. I don't think our league will ever be taken seriously. And I genuinely don't feel that European competition will ever strengthen our nation. It would have done a long time ago. And I remember Steelers, the London Knights and the Giants, I think, in the past as well, reaching the final phase of the Continental Cup when it was the premier competition, when it was contested by teams in the top leagues from Europe. Now you're going head to head against teams from the German second division. It's akin to teams from the Slovenian Premier Football League playing Nottingham Forest in some hashed together European football competition. For me, it doesn't work. I personally would love seeing the elite league teams doing well in Europe. That includes Nottingham. I'm sorry. But for me, let's just concentrate on the domestic fronts. Let's strengthen our league. Let's grow. Let's prosper. Because I really don't think that getting to the Super Final would have given Belfast a stronger opportunity to win domestic honours. I think if you'd have got to the Super Final, that would have been the nail in the coffin for your elite league hopes. And that's my personal opinion on that.
Fair enough.
Thank you. Now, we will leave behind the depressing world of European ice hockey, and I'm sure UKIP are delighted that the English, Scottish, Northern Irish and Welsh teams are all out of Europe firmly. Davey, you spoke to Steve Thornton. I don't think we've got any words from Thornton this week. We've given him some time off. He looked very depressed in those still images from the post-game conferences, so let's leave him a bit of time to assess and move on. But he gave you a few words about Garside and the extent of his injury.
Yeah, well, Gars has had surgery now on his broken arm, and he's probably looking at, you know, a good 2-3 months out here now. You know, hopefully be back towards the business end of the season to help us to some silverware. But you know, it's good to hear from a coach that, you know, how disappointed he is on a personal level from the weekend there. You know, it hurts him bad. He wants this. He wants success for the Giants. You know, he's in it for the long haul here. And you know, we've picked up a few knocks there at the weekend, and it's going to test his skills out over the next few weeks. And, you know, as we say, get well soon, Gars. And that's all we can really say about it at the moment.
And can you imagine, I come to you, Coach. We've talked about bringing in replacements before. If he is out for 2 to 3 months, is it worth looking at having an extra body in for the short term?
Opening a can of worms here again, Mark. listen, it is an incredibly difficult situation. You know, we have picked up injuries upon injuries upon injuries this season. It is not an easy job for Steve Thornton at all. I mean, Murph has gone down, which is, we've obviously had to bring in an import netminder in Carson Chubak, who's been absolutely superb. That's upset the apple cart, because as we've already talked about, the dynamic that we've always had is having the premier British goaltender in goal, and then our 12 imports are all out skaters, so to speak. And obviously Chubak coming in, you know, once we get everybody back to the full strength, somebody's going to have to sit, certainly until Murphy is back, and that could be quite a length of time. You know, I have said right from the get-go that, you know, I would certainly be someone who would be carrying a spare import. You know, I don't know the full synopsis of exactly the extent of the injuries that we now have. Obviously, judging by reports, there's a few bodies hobbling back from France into Belfast. You know, I'm sure we'll maybe get an update on that as the week progresses and what have you. But it's going to be, listen, I suppose like anything, Mark, these things come down to finance and the length of the injury. So, you know, we really can't comment too much on until we know the extent of the injuries that we may or may not have. But I'm certainly in favour. You know, I've said it before. I'm very much in favour of starting the season as close to full strength as possible. I would carry the always a spare import. I know we have the spare now because of the Murphy Chewback dynamic that has borne fruit over the last couple of weeks. But listen, let's just wait until we hear the full extent of the guys that have come back from France, maybe carrying a knock or two.
We're going to look around the league now. So there was a split series in the shopping centre. Unfortunately, Davies' wish didn't come true and Powell was consistent throughout the two games. Steelers with a shutout 2-0 victory on the Friday night and the Clan getting the quick fire revenge with a 2-goal win for themselves, 5-3 on the Saturday. The big talking point of the weekend was the debut, wasn't it, of Danny Boy. And he went head to head, or did he, with Zach Fitzgerald. It appeared that Danny Boy was going to drop the mitts with Fitzgerald in what would have been a very, very tasty debut encounter fight for the ex-Red Bull Munich player. But he decided to keep his gloves on, took three punches to the face and is now out with concussion. Now, I know there is a split opinion on whether this did warrant a two-game ban. I'm going to go first to the corner of Neil the Coach Russell, TV's Neil the Coach Russell. Fitzgerald, hard done by or justified?
Completely justified in my humble opinion. The way I saw it, and I'll try and be as quick as I possibly can be, Derek Rowell puts in a bit of a check right at the end of the period. Bit of a scrum comes together. Fitzgerald jumps in and grabs Colin Eddy, who is kind of jostling with a Brayhead player. Fitzgerald grabs Eddy in a very forceful manner, trying to pull him out of the scrum, like very forcibly. Danny Bois sees this. You know, obviously, Fitzgerald against Colin Eddy. Colin Eddy's not a small guy, but he's certainly not a big guy, certainly not a tough guy. Bois kind of comes round. And the only thing that I would kind of say about Danny Bois, which he probably shouldn't have done, but he grabbed Fitzgerald from behind and from around the neck. Now, how do we know if it was really forcibly or not? But he grabbed him anyway and kind of pulled him away from holding Colin Eddy. And then Fitzgerald, how I saw it, Fitzgerald very keen to fight. We don't know what was said between those two guys, but Fitzgerald very quickly had the gloves off. He landed a big bomb on Danny Bois. Bois went to kind of shake the glove off, but didn't. The glove was still there. And Fitzgerald then went and leveled him with another couple of big bombs. Bois eventually drops the gloves and swings one, and just as he swings one, Fitzgerald catches him with an absolute clinker and sends him straight down. The only thing that I would say really against Danny Bois, which I thought was poor from him, was, well, I thought he should have dropped the gloves first and foremost. If you're going to go in, you should have done that, but it didn't excuse Fitzgerald's actions, in my opinion. But he should have defended himself a hell of a lot better. I mean, for goodness sake, Fitzgerald has his gloves off. He's landed one on you. If you don't want to fight, turtle, get down or cover yourself up, protect yourself better. It was almost like he was in a bit of a trance-like state. I found it really strange. But for me, Fitzgerald maybe would have got away with throwing one, but to go on and throw another couple onto him while he still had his gloves on was unjustified. And for me, the Elite League Dops have got that one right with the two-game ban.
Thank you for the quick answer there, Coach.
That's as quick as I can be.
I've heard that before as well. Davey, you've got a polar opposite opinion on this one, haven't you?
I couldn't disagree more with Coach. I couldn't disagree more with Dobbs. And to an extent, I couldn't disagree more with the referees on the night who warded throwing him out of the game for it. Bois has came in as Sheffield's tough guy, if you want to use that term. It's a term that's bandied about the league. He's gone in aggressively, pulled at Clan's tough guy, two-handed gloved round the face, round the throat area, and he's pulled him out of a scrum. They've had a bit of a push and shove at each other, and Fitzgerald said, you know what, if you're going to do it, you got to pay the piper, and he's threw a punch at him. I'm certain that Bois is keeping that glove on, trying to draw that instigator penalty. You shake the glove at an enforcer like Fitzgerald, you're asking for trouble, and he's fed him his dinner, royally fed him. And, you know, the only thing that I agree with Coach on that whole incident is Bois should have protected himself better. If he didn't want to fight, go down on one knee. Turtle do it. Jason, what was it? Jason Clark from years ago. There's no, I'm very, very sorry for Danny Boyle that he's taking a concussion out of it. I really hope he gets better soon because I don't want to see anybody injured. But he's got to level a certain amount of the blame here. He's gone in, as I said, aggressively. And if you do that, and I'm sure if Colin Eddie give Fitzgerald a few punt or a few chest pushes there, Fitzgerald's not going to box Eddie. You know, he knows he was fighting there with Bois, and that's the reason why he fed him. You know, Bois, for me, fair fight, was up to himself to protect himself. He got a few punches in the head. He's got injured out of it. But to me, it wasn't a game misconduct. I don't think he was the aggressor, as the, and I don't believe Bois was an unwilling combatant either. I think he was trying to be clever. You've seen it a few times this season. Boys drawing an instigator penalty, getting the extra 2+10 in the penalty column, and no sympathy for him whatsoever, other than he's been injured.
But Davey, I know I brought this up with at the weekend as well. You know, the code. Let's talk a wee bit about the code here. Like, for Fitzgerald to have unleashed two or three bombs on Dubois while he still had both gloves on, is that not breaking, in inverted commas, the code?
He's, whenever they're tied up, they're both gloved and they're pushing each other in the chest. Now, Fitzgerald's glove comes off at that stage and he throws a bomb. That's up to Bois at that stage to say, right, I'm either going for it or I'm not. And he clearly didn't.
So why did Fitzgerald go and throw two more then? Shook,
because then Bois backs off and shakes the right glove as if, you're going to go, you're going to go. And that to me is just, go ahead, hit me. Because see, once you do, you're getting the instigator penalty here. So he hit him, and then at that stage, Bois flicked the gloves off. Bois not innocent in this. He's tried to throw a big left hook, and a bit like George Groves and Carl Froch, he's left himself open for a big right hand over the top, and he's got cleaned. He's got his clock clean. But you know,
he got his clock clean though, Davey. He had to eventually. Like Fitzgerald was clocking. Yeah, like eventually he had to drop the gloves. To me, I don't know. Listen, we see it completely different. You know, I see it obviously the way in which the Elite League Dops saw it as well. I just didn't see, you talked about Bois going around and grabbing him, 100% correct, I said that myself, but you were talking about like they were both pushing and shoving each other. I only see one person doing the pushing and shoving there, and that was Fitzgerald was definitely the guy that wanted the fight. You know, Bois, let's not forget, listen, I have no love or affiliation whatsoever to either Brayhead or Sheffield. Couldn't give a damn about either team, to be brutally honest with you. But let's take into account, obviously, the fact that Danny Bois had been travelling for 48 hours. He arrived into the city at about 4 hours kip, and then he was driving, whatever it was, a 7-8 hour bus journey up to Glasgow. I'm sure the last thing on that guy's mind as he took to the ice on Friday evening was dropping the mitts, or he certainly wouldn't have been in any real, I don't know, physical. Yeah, he wouldn't have felt that he was completely up to the mark in terms of playing his best game or certainly getting into a confrontation with arguably one off. If, well, so we've got Westgarth and he is the toughest, but Fitzgerald been right up there with as one of the toughest guys. I'm not quite, I just didn't see any intent there from Bois whatsoever to drop the gloves and want to be engaged in a toe-to-toe with Fitzgerald.
Bois is an enforcer. He's 180, nearly 200 career fights. He has gone in tough guy to tough guy, and there can only be one outcome in that situation, that one of them is going to have a slightly shorter fuse than the other and go first, and Fitzgerald went first. You've knocked it right on the head. Bois should either have stood up or took a knee.
Correct. I couldn't agree more. I agree with you entirely on that.
But me, at that stage, punches are being thrown. Bois is clearly giving signals to Fitzgerald that he is looking a fight. He is standing there shaking his right hand, saying, do you want to go? And all I believe is...
I'm not sure he's saying that, David.
What's he doing with his hand? I'm sure he's sending a signal out there, and he's trying to get him to drop his gloves and get the instigator penalty. You go first. That's Ellie. He's saying you go first. And Fitzgerald, all Fitzgerald's done is go first. And for me, the 5 minutes for fighting each, they should have been able to sort it out man to man later on in the game.
But, I agree with that, Major. Listen, you and I sing off the same hymn sheet whenever it comes to the tough guys and all the rest. Like I would be disappointed. Hitchie's a Sheffield fan, so it'll be interesting to hear his views. I would be personally disappointed if that was, say, Adam Keefe or Kevin Westcott. I would be personally disappointed that that he didn't drop the gloves and get involved in that and kind of stand up for whatever his teammate or, you know, stand up against another tough guy from the opposition. But I couldn't agree more. But, you know, in my opinion, I just think Fitzgerald was just a wee bit naughty on that one. Hitchy?
Well, I saw the incident quite quickly on Twitter. Unfortunately, there's no webcast because it's an Neil Black team. But when I saw the incident initially, my first reaction was, Danny Boyle, what are you doing? Why aren't you dropping the gloves? Why aren't you protecting yourself? It appeared to me that he had his arms by his sides while he took the first punch. And then the ones that followed, really, for me, didn't really need to be thrown at all. He was already not, in my opinion, the fight was already won after that first punch. Two-game ban. I'm not a huge fan of this whole DOPS thing anyway. So for me, throw him out of the game if you need to, but just leave it at that. The only disappointment for me is that he didn't fight back. I know he had a long trip and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but real tough guys should have the pride and the inkling to try and defend themselves. And there was a big away following from Sheffield there that night. So unless he was told not to fight, which has been rumoured, although I don't know how anyone could know that for sure, I would have liked to have seen him put more resistance up. And if it was a reverse incident, I would probably be disappointed in my own player for punching a guy who wasn't defending himself, if I'm honest. But I guess I'm on the fence compared to you two, even though it's my team involved. So I don't seem to have a passionate opinion like you guys, I'm afraid. One of the big success stories of the weekend was from Cardiff, the Cardiff Kelmans. They had an 18-goal weekend, and after an 8-3 victory in Coventry, which would have been very disappointing for the Blaze fans, they managed to win at home against Edinburgh 10-0, a scoreline made even more remarkable for the fact that that night, Jason Stone, the Cardiff Devils legend, had his shirt retired. He wore shirt number 10. Todd Kelman, still a magician, isn't he? Nottingham Panthers won in Fife on Saturday night, only to then return to home on the Sunday and lose at home to Dundee in what was their first defeat to Dundee, or a Dundee franchise, in something like 25, 30 years. That was on the back of Craig Kowalski going out injured and Green starting against the Stars. Hull beat Dundee on Saturday night on the game on Premier Sports, 5-3. You can watch that game back on Premier Player with your home for hockey's own Aaron Murphy and Paul Adey, the Sheffield Steelers Grand Slam legend and former Giants coach and Panther. The Steelers completed their weekend on Sunday with a 3-2 overtime win over Coventry after a very selfish overtime slash. I think we all saw it from Rory Rolick. Coach, I know you were very disappointed in that slash.
I was indeed. I thought it was an incredibly selfish play from Rolick. Just didn't need to do it. And it's cost his team. And I was going to say Mark Lefebvre will not be happy. But of course, Mark Lefebvre has left the building. But the standing coach, Steve Gertzland, certainly not be happy. But very selfish play. Very selfish play.
Yes, Mark Lefebvre's blue suit has been returned to the local infants. The league standings see the Sheffield Steelers top of the league on 26 points, only played 17 compared to the Brayhead Clan, who are in second. The Giants are in fourth at the moment, and Davey. We're going to move on to the games this weekend. Fourth place at the moment, after a weekend away, still touching distance from the top, only 3 points behind. So nothing to be worried about at this point, I'd say, in the league title race.
No, I think if we'd have said, you know, we'd have had our Continental Cup, two Continental Cup weekends under our belt by the end of November, be within three points at the top of the league, you know, sitting good, 11 regulation wins as well. You know, it's looking okay at the minute. Just see how the next couple of days, how the next couple of weeks pan out with these bodies that are going up and down, and just see, start to get a run of, elite league games together now. The league's starting to shape up. You can see the cream rising to the top again, and the sort of playoff standings are already starting to shape up. So, it's all set for a very exciting second sort of two-thirds to the season.
Very tight, isn't it, Coach, with the Devils coming from the depths as well. They've had a great run of form. The Nottingham fans seem to be a little bit disillusioned, even though their team are 2 points off the top spot. As always, they expect to be well ahead of the pack. Do you agree with Davey? It's a good, comfortable position to be in at the moment for the Giants?
I wouldn't say a comfortable position, but it's certainly an attainable position. You know, from where we are, you know, certainly attainable to get back up to the top. You know, it makes this Sunday's game against Sheffield absolutely massive. I mean, we've lost twice to the Steelers now. We lost over in Nottingham to the Panthers. Davey, you all right there?
Just eating a crunchy, mate.
Right, okay, far ahead.
Chocolate on the outside, orange in the middle.
Other chocolate confectionery is available.
But no, listen, we're very, you know, as Davey alludes to there with regards to the injuries and all the rest, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how we shape up come this weekend. But as I said, you know, this Sunday's game against Sheffield is a big, big game. We've lost twice to them already. We've lost over in Nottingham, albeit we beat the Panthers at home. We've lost a game over in Coventry recently there as well. So, you know, it's important that we win our home games and certainly start to put a wee bit of pressure onto the likes of Sheffield Steelers with a really strong, dominant display against them this Sunday against or at the Odyssey Arena. So big, big weekend coming up here for the Giants.
And we'll come to the weekend forthcoming shortly. Three word weekends now. You can imagine the theme. We'll start with Tony, who had convenient scoreline. Tasty. Michael Douglas, no, not that one. Anger in Angers. Philip Armstrong, je déteste français. Belfast Giant Budgie, the French. Chris Revel, fraudulent French farce. I would like to add the word allegedly. Craig McRoberts, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. What a cracking movie. I love the scene where Michael Caine whips Steve Martin's legs when he's in the wheelchair. Fantastic comedy. But then we move on to the more positive reaction to the weekend. We've got Leah Crooks, couldn't be prouder. Jonathan Hughes, made us proud. Amy, proud Giants fan. Angie did better. I mean, you can hear in the background Heather Small singing, can't you? What have you done today to make me feel proud? I mean, get it on. Stick it on Sunday. Whoever the DJ is these days, it's not Big Paul anymore. Heather Small on Sunday as the Giants skate on. Get a bit of proud on. Great track. The final one is Michael Crooks. Now, he's put stuck in France. I hope he's home, or if he isn't home, I hope he's referring to something he got up to when he was there. Now, Davey, Giants are back on British shores on Saturday night in Scotland as they skate into Kirkcaldy. Big game in Fife, isn't it? Looking to avenge the 6-1 defeat at home to the Flyers earlier this season. Probably one of the most disappointing results, wasn't it, for the Giants this term. Fife coming off two defeats to the Panthers and Caps. The last time the Giants came back from Europe, they lost to the Panthers. So, firstly, coming to you, Davey, it's important, isn't it? I mean, it goes without saying 2 points is the minimum requirement on Saturday night in Fife.
Yeah, it would be very good to go back there, back to Fife after they came to our barn and you know, spanked us to go there and you know, send a message out to them that was a one-off and for the rest of the season, you know, we'll be beating you more often than not. You know, very, very good team up there. Chris Auger started the season absolutely on fire, you know, 30-odd points in 24 games, but the coaches made again. Bobby
Shambon
has scored a lot of goals, and my big man, Ned Lukasiewicz, has also started the season, you know, point a game there. The good thing about Fife from a club now is they're getting that secondary scoring. You know, Scott Fleming, Fulton, Reber, they're all coming up with a lot of points. And even right down into their D-core, you know, this is the imbalance you get with the conference system that the sort of the Fifes, the Edinburgh Caps and the Hulls, you know, get players that score multiple points in those inter-conference games. You know, good goaltending. I still think that we should have just that wee bit too much for them. Kevin Regan, if we can solve the puzzle over Kevin Regan, I think, you know, we've got enough firepower to, you know, put Fife away this weekend.
Coach, anything to add in terms of this game? Looking back at the game in Belfast, the 6-1, it'd be hard to imagine that being repeated, surely.
You would certainly like to hope so. Hitchy, I mean, that was a beyond diabolical experience from us. I think everybody inside that arena would agree with that. You know, as Davey would say, don't look back, always look forward. So, you know, fight for a good side. There, you know, Kevin Regan is, as Davey quite rightly says, top goaltender, certainly on top of his game at the minute. He's really started this season off really, really well in goals for Fife. And you know, that's a cracking wee barn there. It's an intense atmosphere. They're on top of you. They're at you the whole time. You know, it's like the extra man on the ice for the Fife Flyers on every occasion. They'll bring the physical presence as well. You know, I just hope it doesn't come down to a body thing again. But, you know, if we get a reasonably good team out numbers-wise and what have you, you know, we should have enough. I mean, our team stacked up against a good Flyers team still should be, our side should still be good enough to skate away with the Challenge Cup points.
Davey, interesting point there from Coach. You've come back to the UK. I said at the top of the chat here that 2 points is the minimum requirement, but as it's the Challenge Cup and as there's a big game against Sheffield on Sunday, is there going to be a temptation there from Thornton to maybe rest a body or two, get Dicko in between the pipes?
No, because you're playing for very, very critical quarterfinal positions, believe it or not. You know, the Giants, if the Giants beat Fife at the weekend, we would play Panthers. For example, if we lose to Fife at the weekend, we would play Cardiff. So, you know, the other group is set. You know, group B is set. Even if the Devils win their game against Hull, you know, they can't go up a place. And if, you know, so Belfast and Fife are the only two teams that can swap positions. So there's, you know, Fife currently second, Belfast third. So those two third, that's, you know, 2-3 seed plays 2 and 3 in the other, which is currently Cardiff and Nottingham. So
Who would you rather play, Davey? Hit us with it.
Oh, I'd rather play the Devils.
Keep Panthers for the final, get that revenge?
I wouldn't care. I hope somebody else would beat the Panthers. I hope they get beat every day of the week, every game they ever play. But, you know, if you have to play them in the final, then so be it. It's not about revenge for me. It's about revenge every single time we ice against them, not just in finals of cups.
Davey's weekly rant against Nottingham is sponsored by Phonacab. The game on Saturday night is featured, as always. I believe Coach has got confirmation for you guys just before the podcast on 247.tv/EIHL. Never watched one of those webcasts myself, but I've heard they're a very good production. So you can catch your Belfast Giants online on Saturday night. Now, the big one, isn't it? Sunday. Hitchcock's back, ladies. He's back. And the Sheffield Steelers are in town. And what a huge game it is, isn't it? The first game versus Sheffield at home for Belfast this season. Thus far, two very narrow defeats at the Motor Point Arena for the Giants. And they're facing a team with, and I'm sorry, I'm not being biased, lots and lots of star quality throughout. Watt is the top of the EIHL point scoring at the moment with 39, with Fretter third and Forney fifth. Steelers have the top three goal scorers at the moment in the AHL with Forney, Watt and Mozienko. Coach, big, big test. Biggest test of the season so far on the domestic front?
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, I've already made reference to it. You know, we've lost twice to Sheffield over in Sheffield, and those two defeats have made this game really, really important for us. You know, we have to be good at home. We have to start taking points off Sheffield. I said it right at the start of the season. I thought Sheffield were going to be the team to beat. You know, Jared Adams has put together a very good squad this year, and you know, someone that's really stood out, a couple of guys that really stood out to me from, I've watched quite a few of the Steelers webcasts, is Tyler Mozienko and Matthew Wah. I mean, those two guys are absolutely top drawer. They're snipers. Mozienko is like an incredibly skilled rink rat. You know, he's at you the whole time. He's nipping at your heels. He's stealing a puck off you. He can find the back of the net. He's a good setup man. I really like what he brings. He brings a real energy to the Sheffield Steelers. And then obviously the guy that we need to unlock and probably struggled in the latter part of last season was Frank Doyle. I mean, he was absolutely superb for you guys in that latter stage last year. And he'll forget that playoff final in Nottingham. I certainly won't. And you'll never let me forget it either. And Frank Doyle, he started off incredibly well again this season. And, you know, we're going to have to be on the ball big time to take the points away from Sheffield. But it's going to be a big game. I hope the Belfast crowd come out and really get behind the team here on Sunday. You know, it's a Sunday game again. We had a brilliant crowd a couple of Sundays ago. The team are going to need that support, you know, especially if we are a body or two down.
I mean, Davey, the last big home game was against Nottingham. A lot of neutrals, a lot of even Belfast and fans themselves were worrying about the potential of losing that game because Nottingham were on a pretty good run of form at the time, and Sheffield are coming into Belfast on the back of a tough game on Saturday night in Coventry themselves. So for you personally, looking at the Steelers squad, that Gerard Adams has been in Cardiff a few years, he's now in charge of a team where he's got a bit of financial clout to go out and get star quality throughout. Do you feel the favourites for the evening are going to be Belfast or Sheffield?
I think that in this league, the very, very top end teams, you know, Belfast, Sheffield, we'll leave it at that. You know, nine times out of ten, they'll want to be winning their home games. They'll fancy themselves against, you know, anyone in this league. Very, very, very good goaltenders. You know, Dewback has started very well for the Giants. Outstanding performance from him in the Continental Cup at the weekend. Almost a one-man show. You know, I've heard some superlatives rolled out about him at the weekend. Frank Doyle just seems to get better and better, and it seems to be in a rich vein of form. So it's, you know, and both teams are stacked with offensive quality. And funny, you would say that about Panthers too, and they came the other Sunday, two teams that were stacked with offensive quality, and it was a real defensive show from both teams. You know, team defense and the Giants just being that sharper in defense won the game against the Panthers. I think there'll be goals. I think it'll be another tight game with only the one goal, you know, separating the teams again. And, you know, you've said there, Hitch, you know, the Steelers are packed with quality. Forney, Roy, Mosienko, you know, Fredder, very, very good players. But the Giants have got, you know, a rich pool of talent as well. And it's just going to be down to, you know, the first goal, first shift, first period could be very, very crucial in this game. And it's all set up, you know, for get yourself down to the Odyssey if you can. If you can't, I'm sure the boys in Giants Live will be more than happy to hook you up that early bird offer there to all those Sheffield Steelers fans.
What's the offer, coach? Come on, hit us with it. Get a bit of commercial freedom.
I think it's from memory, $4.99. And normally, as I know, I haven't seen it promoted so far this week, but I think it's normally $4.99, 24 hours, up to 24 hours before the game. And if you order on the day, then it is back to the original £8.
And I think you'll be able to watch in the Steelers Sports Bar. Forgive me if I'm wrong. I've not seen them tweet about it in a while. Yes, if you can't make it, but there really is no excuse for not making it unless you're in prison or you've got a wife that doesn't let you have your lead your own life. Get to the Odyssey Arena. It's going to be a huge game. If you can't make it, as Davies alluded to and coach, Giants Live TV with the Celtic Philip Schofield and K-bomb Simon Kitchen live from the Odyssey on Sunday night. And one last point for this weekend. The Giants are up against the two top goalies in the EIHL. Doyle and Reagan both on a 2.36 goals against average. Reagan slightly higher save percentage, which isn't surprising because Fife have got the poorer defence. One word answer. I know this is difficult for you, coach, so I apologise in advance. If you had the choice in between the pipes for the Giants, Doyle or Reagan?
Oh, Frank Doyle, every single time.
That's about nine words. Davey?
Chew back.
And speaking of goalies, Davey spoke to the new kid on the block, Carson Chewback, about the weekend just passed and his overall experiences thus far in Belfast. Over to you, Chewbacca.
Delighted to welcome to the show the Belfast Giants' brand new number one, Carson Chewback. Carson, you're very, very welcome to the show.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Carson, bit of a whirlwind 2 weeks for you. What were you up to hockey-wise this season, and how easy a decision was it to come to Belfast whenever you got the call from the coach?
Yeah, it all happened pretty quickly. I was kind of just sitting at home training and waiting for a team to go to. And I looked at Belfast and I looked at their record and it seemed to be like a really good place to be.
And tell us a bit about yourself. You know, you've a bit of NCAA experience. You got a call up to the AHL. You know, what can we expect from Carson Chewback?
Well, I mean, I'm going to compete hard. I'm from Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, Canada. So pretty far away from here, northern Canada, kind of. Western Northern Canada, so it's a little bit different here, but I'm adjusting well, and I really like all the support we're getting from all the fans.
Well, as you say, a bit of a distance to come, and no rush trip ever goes smoothly, a bit like your own, and sort of three in at the deep end, one day's practice before straight on the road to the lead league in Sheffield Steelers, but narrow defeat in your debut, but you must have felt good about your own performance despite the scoreline.
Yeah, no, it went well. I mean, we obviously lost the first game, unfortunately, but yeah, I tried hard. yeah, it was a bit of a whirlwind for that entire week, and we've already played 5 games here, and it feels like I just got here yesterday. But I mean, it's a great time so far.
And then the big one, less than 24 hours later, you turn to Belfast for your home debut. You know, for Belfast fans, it doesn't get any better ever than beating the Nottingham Panthers. But you know, first star of the game in your home debut, it's a great way to endear yourself to the home crowd.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the team played really well, honestly, that game. It was a team effort, as it always is, and the crowd was behind us. Really good crowd on a Sunday night, so we really appreciated that as well. And yeah, to get the victory, it felt really good, just to help me settle in.
And then on the last weekend, a weekend of real mixed emotions, you know, real highs in the two victories, and just narrowly defeated. But you know, you find yourself 180 feet away from, you know, another goaltender in Jean-Sébastien Aubin. You must have been pinching yourself at times. 2 weeks ago, you were sitting at home, as you say, just keeping fit, and all of a sudden you're thrust into, you know, top European competition.
Yeah, no, it was a little different. I've played against some good goalies in the past, so it's not too much of a shock. But I mean, yeah, it was cool. I've seen J.S. Aubin play on TV quite a bit, and even growing up, I think he's a little bit older now, so when I was growing up, he was kind of playing in the NHL quite a bit. So, yeah, it was definitely a neat experience.
I'm going to quote someone very, very high up the organization I was talking to today, and they said, Freddie's shutout v. Grodno was up there with the very best goaltender performance I've seen in our 15-year history. How proud does that make you that you've just literally jumped off a plane, first star of the game against Nottingham, and you go into European competition and you're playing just right out of your skin?
Yeah, no, it makes me feel great. I mean, honestly, everybody in the organization has been awesome, so it's really great. And honestly, every game is similar. You go into it with the same mindset, and sometimes it turns out really well, just like it did on Friday, and other times it's a little bit tougher, but you're always out there competing as hard as you can.
And then on to this weekend coming, we're a bit beat up, and you're going up head-to-head against the two top goaltenders in the league this weekend, and Frank Doyle and Kevin Regan, away to Fife and then back to Sheffield. We really owe Sheffield one. We're 0-2 against them. Boys must be training really hard this week.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, every game's important in this league, right? So we're definitely excited to keep this little streak going of playing well. And I mean, yeah, Sheffield's a team that we're going to need to learn to beat, so we're gonna try and do that as soon as possible, for sure.
And then just on to the rest of the season and perhaps the future for Carson Chubak. Is this a bit of a, just to get a foothold into Europe, is this, you know, the big season for you, hopefully backstop us to a bit of silverware and then look at what the future holds?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very exciting for myself. It's the first time I've been to Europe at all, so I've already been to Ireland and France. It's all happening quite quickly, but yeah, no, it's an experience in itself, and hopefully I can do well this year, and yeah, hopefully, just like you said, kind of get a foot into Europe.
Well, as you say about your quick trip to Europe, you've said you've been to Northern Ireland, you've been down south, you've been to England already for a game, Scotland this weekend, yeah, France last weekend, and Wales, yeah, next weekend, so you've covered everywhere inside 3 weeks, so let's hope that you start coming out with regulation wins here, and we climb on up the charts.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's our main goal right now. So we're all very focused, and yeah, we're gonna compete out there every game. And I think we have a really good team here as well. So I'm fairly confident that we'll do well.
Well, Carson, thanks very, very much for your time tonight, and hopefully we'll catch up with you in a few weeks when you get a little more settled in.
Yes, sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you there to Carson and Davey for the interview. Also, some points as we look forward to the weekend. Nottingham will be looking to iron out their form issues with games against Hull away and Coventry at home. They've got Modig back between the pipes. The Kelmans are up in Scotland for a big weekend in Brayhead and Dundee before they actually then go over to Belfast, don't they, I think, a week after for a double header.
Double headers in Cardiff.
Double-heading card. And finally, the Sheffield Steelers are in Coventry before the big trip to Belfast. So big weekends all around at the top of the Elite League, and a full programme of fixtures. Get along, see your clubs. Obviously, majority of you listening are from Belfast. Get to the Odyssey on Sunday. Can't stress that enough. It's going to be fantastic. I've got a day return from Flyby, so I'm going to be there with my daughter enjoying the show. Now, last week, I got told off because I didn't mention three very important letters, which are AOB. So I'm going to go first to the Philip Schofield of the North, Neil Russell. Any other business squire?
Hitchy, all that I have left to say is this is obviously your last show. You've stood in for our Director General, Paddy Smith, who's been away enjoying himself for the guts of the last month in various different parts of Europe and the world. You've done a brilliant job, mate. It's really appreciated by Paddy, myself, and Davey. I know a lot of the listeners, and I'm sure you've had plenty of good feedback. I know I've seen plenty on our own, a view from the Bridge Twitter feed and what have you. You know, listen, you've really done a brilliant job at it, and we all thank you from the bottom of our hearts for stepping in and hosting the show, and no doubt you'll be back on the show soon enough.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. Davey, I'd love to hear that echoed, please.
Yes, as Coach has said, you know, from the bottom of his heart, and I almost echo that, and I'll say from the heart of my bottom that, you know, I agree also, and it's been fantastic to have you on. It's been a really good laugh, mate, and, you know, Coach likes to echo everything I say. I would just like to echo everything he said in this instant.
It's been great fun, guys, and I'm sure I'll be back talking about the Steelers. Depending on Sunday's result, I might even be back next week. I think I'll only be invited if it's a home victory. The only other business from me, it's a podcast union, isn't it? And there was the very, very sad news that Cats Whiskers TV co-host Paul Baum left behind the Cats Whiskers after a couple of years in the hot seat alongside Jono Bullard. Great show, the Cats Whiskers. And podcast union, Coach, always sad to see somebody leave, a contemporary.
Absolutely. You know, I've met Paul on a couple of occasions, top guy. Just obviously felt that the time is right for him to move on and maybe let somebody else step into the hot seat alongside Jono and Aaron. And, you know, certainly I've no doubt, you know, from speaking to Jono back and forward, I'm sure we'll hear Paul back on the airwaves again at some stage. But you have to say, and credit where credit's due, and I have said this privately to Jono, I mean, the Cats Whiskers podcast, since they've moved to the podcast over the last, whatever, month to 6 weeks, it really has been a superb listen. And, you know, I just think that the podcast gives you so many different options in terms of interviewing different people and setting up interviews, and just gives you a broader spectrum for listeners to kind of listen into and what have you. And fair play to Jono, and good luck to Paul. And no doubt we'll see him over in Nottingham at various different games.
And Davey, any kind words to add?
Well, it'll not come as a massive surprise to hear that I've never actually listened to one. But that's not to say that I don't, you know, wholeheartedly echo what Coach is saying there. You know, it is something that we do for the love of our clubs. You know, you wouldn't expect too many Man United fans to tune into Liverpool, you know, TV. So if you've got a lot, you know. I haven't really listened to it. I did actually tune in last week when I heard our own Neil Russell was on, and I listened to most of his interview until he started going on about how he would like to see Jordan Fox in a Belfast Giants uniform, and I hastily switched off at that stage. But, you know, I would...
best players in the Elite League
there was irrelevant, you know. Some stains you can't remove. You need a very, very big box of Vanish for that shirt. But, you know, I hope Phil Baum goes on to the bigger and better things.
Fuck you, Davey. Thank you, Davey. And, gentlemen, thank you very much for the kind words. It's been a blast. I shouldn't say that in Belfast. It's been great. It's been great fun. And I look forward to joining you next time Paddy goes away with his wife, which apparently is in January. So don't cry too hard, guys. I'll be back. So we've dissected the Giants going out of Europe. As you can tell, we've got over it. A big weekend ahead in Fife and against the Sheffield Steelers. I've had mulled wine tonight. I'm Mark Hitchcock. Thank you for listening. Davey, have a great week, mate, and see you soon.
Cheers, buddy.
And Coach, see you Sunday. My flight lands at 11:30.
See you at the city airport. Hitchy, looking forward to it, bud.
Good night. And as a little parting treat, Davey and Coach have asked me to record the outro. So without further ado, I'd like to thank Carson Chewback, Nigel Ringland, Davey and Coach, as always, and also Patrick Smith as well, for going on a honeymoon for a month and letting me enjoy the fantastic company of Davey and Coach, and Kitchen on occasion. It's been great to stand in, and I hope you've enjoyed and been able to accept a Yorkshire accent amongst all the Ulster ones supporting your Belfast Giants. a great weekend ahead as the Giants go to Fife and play Sheffield at home. Please, 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 can't say it enough, get yourself down to the Odyssey on Sunday. It's going to be a cracking game. Support your team, the Stenline Belfast Giants. You can get us our podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com, the Kingdom of the Giants website, which is kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. Listen to our interviews on SoundCloud. All our images are on Instagram, and you can tweet us at AVFTB. But wherever you are, whatever you do, enjoy your hockey this weekend, and I won't see you, but the other guys will, on next week's A View from the Bridge. I'll be back. Like a flabby Arnold Schwarzenegger with a slightly smaller gun. So, we've dissected... I've lost it.
I'm keeping all this in.
Okay. So we've dissected the Giants going out of Europe. As you can tell, we've got over it. A big weekend ahead in Fife and against the Sheffield Steelers. I've had mulled wine tonight. I'm Mark Hitchcock. Thank you for listening.